Some people are addicted to substances, others to destructive habits. But the one thing all addicts need is the way out. Addictions always hobble us in the race of life. Once caught in the trap, many people find themselves unable to break free. Today, you'll hear about taking first steps toward freedom and the real life God wants you to experience. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series explains why good people do bad things. Dr. Lutzer comes once again to explain the pathways to addiction.
What a diagnosis of the human heart. So the alcoholic drinks in order to solve problems that is drinking created. The gambler continues to gamble, hoping that he'll be able to win back the money that he squandered the last time he was gambling. And the sex addict goes for another experience in order to cover the deadness of the pain and the emptiness that was left behind after his last experience, and on it goes. Now listen to what the Bible says about sin. You say, well, can't they get out of that? Well, I'm reading from the book of Proverbs. For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all of his paths. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnares him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline and be led astray because of his own great folly. The cords of sin hold him fast. What are some of those cords? One is denial. Denial. We've talked about this in other messages where a protective shell is developed, because remember, the truth of God turns into a lie, and from now on all that's going to matter is this center of a man's life as he begins to think about the sins that he wants to commit and the euphoria that he receives. He becomes cunning, he becomes devious, he becomes one whose word cannot be trusted. He lies even when the truth would serve him as well, and you reason with him. And there is no possibility of rational reasoning. That's a thing. Some of you have experienced that. You know, you say, well, isn't it as plain as the nose on your face that you're destroying yourself and your family? He simply does not see it, because everything is deflected. Everything is misinterpreted. Everything comes through the grid of this awesome, deadly power of sin. And as a result, he builds that protective shell so that he can sink more deeply into his world of trance. And so at the same time, people are kept at bay. That's one of the snares that hold him fast. A second is shame and guilt. If he were to come clean, oh, the price he thinks he would have to pay, because he'd have to finally admit it. You see, there's a part of him that has to remain secret, and he does things to make him convince himself that he's not as bad as one part of him thinks he is. The other day, I was at another conference, and I was taken to the airport by a man whose wife was molested by her grandfather. And before he did those things, he would always buy her hymnals, because she loved to play hymns, and she'd have to play hymns for him before he did it. You say, well, how depraved can a man get? Well, you see, in his mind, he's thinking, see, I'm not that bad. I'm a very generous person. In fact, I go to church. In fact, I buy hymnals. Do you see the deception of the human heart? And then, of course, there are those who tell themselves, I'm not really addicted. I'm reminded of the words of Mark Twain. I've smiled over them many, many times throughout the years when he said, I'm not addicted to cigarettes. He said, I can give it up anytime I want. I've given it up 1,000 times. Ah, how we deceive ourselves. And so the addict is faced with these increased desires with decreasing satisfaction. The cords of sin hold him fast. And he begins to think there is no way out. Could I say a word about those of you who may live with addicts of one kind or another? There is such a thing as being an enabler. which is sometimes destructive, because you say, well, what's the answer? Well, we're getting to the answer. Don't be too anxious here. But Jesus did say that the truth sets people free. But you see, many of these people are insulated from the truth. That's the purpose of the whole shell of denial, is to insulate themselves. So if you're an enabler, if you lie for him, if you bail him out of jail, if you're the kind of person who mops up after him, after the vomit or whatever, you know what will happen is he'll be enabled to continue that lifestyle. What you need to do is to realize that only reality, only the truth can set him free. And there are many, many stories of people who finally were set free when the truth finally dawned in all of its ugly reality. So there's that part of it. Also, a little word of encouragement here. You know, there are people who actually have learned that it's possible to help someone reach the bottom more quickly with family members gathering around and simply telling that person what his lifestyle is doing to each of them, so that reality somehow sinks in. You say, well, what about Alcoholics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, Sex Addicts Anonymous, all of those different groups? I want you to know today that if you're attending one of them and you're finding it helpful, I encourage you to continue. I would not be critical of those groups in that sense. Alcoholics Anonymous has helped hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people, and we can be grateful. But I do want to tell you this. This summer, I was in Whiting, New Jersey, where there is the House of Mercy, over 100 years old, committed to helping addicts. They have primarily alcohol addicts and drug addicts. And they put them through a program that lasts about 5 or 6 months, and then they have a graduation ceremony, and then they follow up on these, and they're receiving a tremendous amount of percentage, a great percentage of permanent deliverance. So I said to Bill, this is a Bible-based program where the men have Bible studies, they pray together, they call on God, they're required to read the scriptures, to memorize the scriptures. I said to Bill, what's the difference between your group and these other groups out there? He said, well, first of all, we receive many from these other groups, and that's not a criticism of them, it's just simply a reality, because all have their failures, including even the House of Mercy. But then he said this, after doing this for years and years and years, having hundreds of graduates throughout the country permanently delivered, he said, the difference is that when you are in a program that only believes in God as a higher power, your desires do not change. When people come to Christ and are converted, their actual desire for that substance, whatever it is, eventually leaves them. And I thought to myself, well, of course that's right. That's biblical. A new heart I will give you. I will take out the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, says the scripture. He that is in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. There is something within us. If you're a born-again Christian, and I hope you are, and you may not be, and if so, I want you to know that you can come to Christ so that you are. But if you're a born-again Christian, there is a part of you that hates sin. There is a part of you that loves righteousness. There's a part of you that wants to please God. I've seen this over and over again, people falling into sin, but they're genuine Christians. And when they repent, the first thing they say is, oh God, you know how much I love you, and I'm sorry that I offended you and that I grieved you. And that's the first thing they think of. That's Christian, because the desires change. Now, as I was thinking about this message, it was difficult to make, because I thought of so many passages right now that I wanted to give the congregation. So I outlined one set of passages, and I said, I'll use those. And then I said, no, here's another set of passages. I'm going to use these. And then I said, there's another set of passages out here, and I'm going to use those. So aren't you glad that I'm not going to use them all today? But I do want to tell you this. I'm going to give you some principles, and we will turn to some passages. But at the end of the day, I want to exalt Jesus as the deliverer. The very time that he came, it says he has come to save his people from their sins. I talk to those of you today who are in despair. You've tried 1,000 times. Would you listen carefully? A couple of principles with some scripture. First of all, everything that God expects us to do, Everything that God expects us to do is based on what He has already done. It's based on what He has already done. Does He want us to crush Satan, who is a part of our battle? Yes. Has He crushed Satan? Yes, He disarmed all principalities and all powers and made a show of them openly. Does He want us to be able to say no to sin? Yes, He put us into Jesus Christ. It says later in the book of Romans that we are one with Him, united with Him, and therefore we can be free. It's this awesome work that Jesus did for us that becomes the basis of all deliverance from sin. And now I'm not just talking about addicts. I'm talking about all of us in our struggles with sin. You take, for example, it says this in the book of Corinthians. It talks about those who were caught in various sins. It speaks about the sex offenders, the immoral, the idolaters, the thieves, the greedy, the drunkards. And then Paul says, and that is what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You've been justified in the name of Jesus. What a marvelous passage. That's one of the ones I wanted to camp on for about 15 minutes, but we don't have the time, and it's not necessary because the essence of it is clear. Jesus came in, He washed them, and He sanctified them. He set them apart, and He justified them. Notice that what happened in their lives was based on what Jesus did. Nearly 20 years ago, in the lobby of this church, and isn't it amazing that I can talk like that? Nearly 20 years ago. And here I'm so young. I met a woman who said, I'm living with a man. And she said, I know it's wrong. We're not married. And she says, I just need to break up this relationship. And I said, well, just move out. She said, it's not that simple. I own the apartment. And I said, well, ask him to leave. He won't. I said, go to the police, get an order that he has to vacate the premises because these premises belong to you. She did that, and later on she said that when she presented him with this piece of paper, whatever it was, he packed up and left. Now, I have a question for you. How does a 125-pound woman get a 200-pound man to leave an apartment? She doesn't do it by power. She does it by authority. And I want to speak to those of you today who say, I have no power. I want to speak to women who have told me that they have no ability to say no to sexual lusts or sexual, solicitations. That they were brought up in such an atmosphere, maybe because of molestation or whatever, that they want to say yes to every man, no matter what he asks them to do, and they lack willpower. I want to say to you today, dear people who are listening, there is such a thing as exercising authority as a believer. You do not have to say yes, because Jesus died to set you free. He crushed the enemy, and He broke the power of sin. Accept that and live by it. Yes, my friend, did you hear that? You don't have to live that way. This is Pastor Lutzer. I'm speaking to you from my heart and from God's Word. Today, Jesus Christ is able to deliver you. Call to Him. Tell Him you're finished with sin. And let this moment become one of hope.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of Pathways to Addiction, another message in a 9-part series on Why Good People Do Bad Things. Tomorrow, advice on getting free. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. You're hearing Why Good People Do Bad Things. This series is now a book, which we'd like to send as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.